my name is Alina. Welcome to the Unravel podcast.
My name is Nina. And today I have a story time to share with you, but really I wanted to talk about how it's okay that sometimes you're not a good fit for people, friends, relationships, clients. And well, so the long story short is that there was a seller client who I was working with. Okay. I'd previously sold a house for them. Everything went smoothly, as much as it could. The bottom line was, I guess, he wanted to be a for sale by owner initially, but was unable to get that property sold, reached out to me. I was able to help him with that. We got it done. There were some complications with the contract, with the house, but at the end of the day, we got it to the closing table. Mm-hmm. So then there was another piece of property he asked me to list. So we got that on the market. Of course, there's additional complications with that listing as well. The acreage was not what we thought it was. So we got that all resolved. Months and months later, marketing, phone calls, contracts that have fallen through, a lot of work on my end. 2 days before closing, he calls me and tells me, I don't want to pay commission. I don't want to pay commission to anybody. And, you know, if somebody doesn't want to pay commission, that's fine.
But then why hire you for the service? Like, you knew what to expect. This isn't his first transaction with you.
Uh-huh. It's like you go to a restaurant, you order your food, you eat it all, it's delicious, and then you decide not to pay. I mean, it
doesn't work that way.
So I told him, I said, you know, I understand. I tried to reason with him, but he was unwavering in his decision that he refused to pay commission. So I told him,
Was it just to you or the other agent as well? Okay, so there was another agent on the other side of this transaction. Okay.
The other agent brought a buyer. The buyer had already spent a lot of money, inspections, tests, and different things. You know, they were about $2,000-$3,000 invested into this property. So I called the other agent immediately and I told her, I said, we have a little situation here. So between that initial phone call 2 days before closing, he called me 3 or 4 more times screaming at me. I think he's a conspiracy theorist, to be honest with you, because he was claiming that me and the other agent were related, that we were in the same broker. We were in totally different brokerages, different cities, had never met this agent, had never worked with this agent before. There was no collusion. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke with my broker. She spoke with her broker. And we finally came to an agreement that was, you know, we were trying to, at that point, protect the buyer who had spent
already a ton of money, right? Mm-hmm,
because the seller was about to be in default. Mm-hmm. Luckily, everything got to closing, but I will never, ever work with that seller again. And, you know, technically there's a couple red flags along the way that I should have seen that I just ignored. And so that's what I want to talk about today a little bit. It's just so many times professionally and personally, there's people that you kind of see these signs along the way that
probably not going to be that big best of a fit.
Yeah, we're not going to be a good fit. We may not be friends. And we choose to ignore it. And then inevitably it ends up going bad, I have found. What do you think about that when it comes to friendships, relationships, professional, whatever the case may be, when it comes to seeing those signs that we should probably part ways?
I've definitely had that happen before with some clients, customers, whatever. And the one that sticks with me the most that I can remember is this client that I had. We had been working together for him and his wife. We've all been working there for a year at this point. And it's only because when they would come into town, they lived up north. So when they would come into town, we would come and look at property. So I probably only saw them like 3 or 4 times a year. They were investors looking to buy investment property. They were new investors looking to buy investment property. And I really enjoyed them. They were great to work with until we got to the point that we were making offers on things. And we really had issues with offers because I would educate them and tell them like, hey, this is a brand new listing. This is also during the time where, like, when COVID was going on and people were offering over asking on properties. Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, sit down with them and tell them like, hey, here's the realistic expectation for this market and mm-hmm. what a realistic offer looks like. And they constantly just disregarded any mm-hmm. information that I would give them. And they just wanted to offer whatever they wanted to offer. And we're talking like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 less than asking. And so I'm writing offers at this price point. And by the time that we got to the third offer we made, and this is over a year time frame of working together with them, and we lost it, of course. Mm-hmm. I told them like, hey, I don't think we're going to be the best fit for each other. Honestly, I feel like I've educated you guys and you guys just really aren't listening to me. So at this point, I'm not really bringing the value that you hired me for if you're not going to utilize it. So I think it would be better if you found another agent. And they were super sweet. They were like, they were understanding of that. And they said, you know, we appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And we enjoyed working with you as well. And we definitely understand where you're coming from. So the cut ended very nicely. But I think at the end of the day, we aren't like, you know, each person isn't, may not be for everyone. Like you have to find someone that's your fit, mm-hmm. rather it's a friendship or in a business relationship. And that's just one situation that I can think of. There's been plenty of clients over the years where they've worked with other agents and they came and worked with me and we just like click very well and we have a good relationship. And there's some clients where I've never heard from them again because the relationship, you know, isn't there or the connection isn't there. And it's funny I say connection because it's almost like a relationship, but it honestly is the same way in business. Like people work with people that they like. So if they don't feel like they like you and they don't have that connection with you, then they're not going to work with you. They have no desire to work with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that doesn't have anything to do with you being bad in business or it has no indication. What am I trying to say?
It's not a reflection
on you so much as it's a reflection on your personality and that other person's personality connecting or not connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's a reflection on them. You know, sometimes it's more neutral, you said, you know, but a lot of times it's the other person. I remember this is something that I've read a lot about, that people naturally, they want to be liked, or maybe it's an insecurity that, you know, you just want to be accepted, but then you end up getting in scenarios with clients or relationships or things. And it's just like, it's not a positive fit. It's not helpful. It's not beneficial to anyone, but you just want to force it in a way. And just being confident enough to release that and say, hey, you know, we're just not meant to work together and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not possible for everyone to get along.
Agreed.
So really, I think it's about aligning who you are as a person, what your values are professionally and personally, and then building.
And I've even had, I usually try my best not to work with friends or people that I have a good relationship with, because I don't want the business side of things to affect the relationship that's already there. Mm-hmm. But if I feel like that relationship is strong enough and unwavering, then I don't mind. Mm-hmm. But I've had some friends like beg to work with me and I'm like, hey, no, I'm gonna have to refer you out because I don't feel like you're going to be, and I don't say this to them, but in my mind, I know you're not going to be able to separate business and personal, and you may take some things that I say offensive or whatever. And I don't have time to deal with that. And also the amount of money that I'm going to make on this transaction isn't worth me losing this friendship and relationship that I have with you. But again, there are some friends that I do work with because I feel like that's not going to have any effect on our relationship. Recently, I had someone that wanted to use me for service. And I told them, hey, I don't do this. I do not specialize in it, but I'll refer you to someone who does. Mm-hmm. And it was a good friend of mine. And, which worked fine for me because I didn't have to work with you as a friend. Yeah. And also I don't even do that kind of service. So, you know, here's a referral. And, the referral I sent her didn't work out. So then she came back and was like, hey, can you please do this for me? And I was like, sure. So I gave in and I agreed to do it. Some things happened in the middle of things and it didn't work out. And she ended up firing me and it, for me, that like really, really hurt. But also had to remind myself, like, I did tell you, I did not do this kind of service.
Yeah.
And if you were unsatisfied with how it went, that's probably why, because I did say up front about it.
I mean, but you told her ahead of time.
I know, but it still hurts.
Of course.
And but then I have to like reevaluate and reassess the situation and realize, hey, this I was upfront about it in the beginning. It didn't go out. It didn't go as planned, but I'm also mindful of things aren't always going to work out. Things aren't always going to go how we think it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And we're not always, and just because we're friends doesn't mean we're going to work together.
Right.
We're going to work together great. Yeah. And also the situation is you weren't working with me. You're working with someone that works for me. Mm-hmm. And another reason why I don't specialize in this specific thing that you wanted.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to work with me, it still would have been different because I wouldn't have been providing you any service. Mm-hmm. You would have been working with someone else. You're just working with my company.
Yeah. And I mean, because a lot of people wouldn't even be honest and say, hey, this is not something that I do. They might just say, yes, you know, the more clients, the better. But I think you provide a better service and to the client, and you're just a better realtor or business person in general if you focus on your strong suits.
Correct. And that's honestly what I try to do, because at the end of the day, when I'm working for someone or with someone, I want to give them the best level of service. And if I know, at the end of the day, regardless if I specialize in something or not, I'm going to let you know, like, hey, this is not something I do. Am I going to still work my best for you and mm-hmm. make sure I can do everything within my means? Absolutely. But again, this isn't something I'm going to do. And this isn't something that I specialize in yeah. or am familiar with doing, but I'm going to do the best I can. And if you still want to use me with that in mind, then okay, that's okay. I'm happy to continue to work for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like for you to be aware that, so there's no hiccups in the situation of why I don't know this and this and this, because I don't do that.
Yeah. Full disclosure at the beginning. And if someone still wants to work with you for you, mm-hmm. you know,
I love that. I respect it. Yeah. I love that. It's loyalty.
Yeah. And it's just like, it makes me think too, whether it's professionally or personally, like, what are the core values that make you who you are as a person, that makes your business what it is? Because that's, you know, when I first got into the industry, I wouldn't necessarily think about it that way when it comes to taking on a new client. The more the merrier, really. Mm-hmm. But then now I really think about it anytime someone reaches out to me or needs my help to get a home sold or to purchase a home. I don't just take on every client, because there's some times where it's not a good fit and I can send it to someone else, you know, correct. Send that client to someone, maybe the personality will meet, you know, match better. Maybe that person has more time. Mm-hmm. Maybe the expectations are a little bit different and what they consider to be realistic. You know, if you're trying to find a $150,000 home in Oconee County, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, or no.
And then again, mm-hmm. when you set that expectation with them and they still disregard what you're saying, correct. It's probably not a good fit.
Correct. And, you know, that's okay. You know, if that's what you're looking for, mm-hmm. I need to send you to someone who has no other clients, who can literally scour the world mm-hmm. for you. And even so, you probably still won't find it.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just having those conversations, not being afraid, because you're not telling someone no. You're actually doing what's best for them, because in the long run, they're going to be happier. And even with friendships too, or relationships, correct. Sometimes there's a separation or an end. And in the long term, it's better for both parties.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
So
I just got a new client who's an investor who buys and flips. And so we've just put 2 properties under contract this week. He's going to flip them and then we'll put them back on the market when they're ready. Mm-hmm. And we were having a conversation the other day on the phone and he was telling me like, oh, I'm so impressed with your knowledge about flipping. And I was like, yeah, I used to do it.
Yeah. One time there was a fire and
the house that burned down. And he was telling me about the other realtor he had used previously how she, and I think he had only used her maybe like once or twice at that point, but mm-hmm. she didn't have any knowledge about flipping mm-hmm. and it created, basically he ended up buying a property that yes, it had the potential. He had the potential to make money on, but he was going into this thinking he could put in generic, standard, regular finishes. But the reality is that where that property was located, the finishes that he was putting in that home wasn't going to work for that area. Most buyers maybe wanted like, I don't know what he said, but most buyers wanted something else and the finishes he put in. So he actually took the property longer to sell. And it didn't sell for what they estimated to sell because the agent wasn't knowledgeable about what mm-hmm. would sell in that, what finishes would really sell in that market.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until I didn't know about his prior history with the other agent until we had that conversation mm-hmm. later this week. And, because I was telling him that, hey, I want to make sure you're putting the right finishes in this home, based on what other similar homes are selling for at this specific price point in this specific mm-hmm. area. Cause the last thing I want you to do is come in thinking you're going to put modern finishes in this home and spend 50-60 grand. And it's not selling because nobody here wants modern finishes. They yeah. want more traditional farmhouse style finishes. Mm-hmm. And, he was really impressed that I said that because the other realtor he worked with just didn't have the knowledge, either didn't tell him or didn't have a lot of knowledge about it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's where we connected very well because I've had the experience to be able to educate him and I've had the experience flipping myself, but also working with other investors to yeah. be able to properly educate them to prepare mm-hmm. for what's going to actually sell and not just, you know, buying a home and flipping it and just throwing whatever finishes you want in there because mm-hmm. you think it's going to sell when realistically every community may be different and what people want.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of where you lean into experience and knowledge that you have gotten over time. Because it really makes a difference when you're representing a client. And if someone's correct. Thinking about buying or selling, when you're talking to an agent, I mean, you know, there's so many agents. I always tell people, and a lot of people will say, oh, I'm just going to use my mom's agent or my aunt got her license. That's fine if you want to do that. But if you're interviewing agents, if you're being strategic, connecting with them on a personal level, personality, all that is good, but then make sure they have that experience that you're looking for.
Correct.
Because like the client you worked with, he probably wasted a bunch of time and lost money working with a previous agent who didn't maybe have the same knowledge and skill sets that you
did. People don't know that. People that are hiring agents don't know that. They think that we all have the same level of expertise, or we're just all good for opening doors.
We definitely are not the same.
I know, but I certainly believe, especially if you're just buying a first time home, yeah. I think that can be a little more standard. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing something specific, like buying a second home, a vacation home, an mm-hmm. investment property, or being an investor that's buying and flipping, you need a realtor who specializes in those things mm-hmm. or who has experience in working with people like that. That way you can get the best level of service. Because at the end of the day, you're going to pay for a service. It's just, are you going to pay for the best level of service, or are you going to pay for someone who didn't do their job?
But even let's say a first time home buyer, which should be the, you know, not the easiest, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be the most complicated transaction typically.
Sure. But you're right. It's still, there's still complications. There's still nuances within that Absolutely. That an agent still needs to learn and prepare their buyer for.
Like depending on the agent you hire, one agent might be able to get you $15,000 in closing costs and mm-hmm. $10,000 off the price and, you know, negotiate a bunch of repairs. And then, you know, there's so many things mm-hmm. versus just like, we're going to put in a full price offer and then we close. Mm-hmm. I mean, could that go okay? Sure. But wouldn't you also want someone who's trying to get you a deal, who's mm-hmm. trying, you know, but a lot of times.
But truly guiding you through that yes. process, because you're going into this not knowing anything.
But these little niche things, a lot of agents don't know because they haven't done it yet. They don't Correct. Have the experience. So you don't know what you don't know.
Correct.
And that's why it's important to pick an agent, regardless if you're buying or selling, who has done enough transactions, worked with enough clients to know all these little tips and tricks, because it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Correct. On your bottom line. Like for a first-time home buyer, there was one who was working with another agent and they were not satisfied. They put in some offers and, you know, it all fell through. And finally, we, you know, they hired me. I worked with them. We got them to the closing table. Well, come to find out, their mortgage payment was less than half of what it was going to mm-hmm. be with the previous agent, just because of the different credits and, you know, things that we got.
Right.
So it does make a difference.
Agreed. I remember in the beginning of my real estate career, the broker that I worked for, she only let me do transactions under 100,000. And at the time, there were homes for 100,000. This was like eight, nine years ago. And then she slowly increased it until as she saw my progress mm-hmm. and my capability. And at the time, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I didn't tell her this, obviously. But at the time, I was like, I want to do like more expensive houses. Like, I don't even care if it was 200,000. Like, I just wanted to do anything. I wanted to get out of that 100,000, the 100,000 price point. But honestly, like, I learned so much during that time because I worked with a ton of first-time home buyers. I worked with mm-hmm. a ton of people buying mobile homes. And honestly, those were the most complicated transactions in Absolutely. My career that I learned so much about. And I loved that. I, again, didn't love it then, but I liked that I went through that period in the beginning of my career to understand a lot of that stuff and understand how a lot of things worked before I got to the point that I am now, because now I can navigate a lot of barriers and transactions. Because selling a second home, selling the $1 million homes, those are easy transactions. They're paying cash half of the time. They're closing, they're done, they're easy. But you've got to know how to do the more difficult stuff first, Absolutely. Or else the easy ones won't look easy to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And here's another example of someone told me that this had happened where there was a buyer who they wanted to do a new construction home. They needed to sell their previous home to do so. And there was going to be, so they, in order for them to qualify for the construction loan, they would have to sell the other home. So it was going to be a very complicated transition period. And they used a realtor who was a family friend, and it fell through because there was too many complicated things. Maybe the agent didn't have the experience mm-hmm. or the knowledge how to coach them through that. You know, you have to get this on the market. Do we need a post occupancy? Do we need a rent back? Do we need to find a rental? All these different things that could have caused the both transactions to close smoothly. Mm-hmm. They would have had their brand new forever home, but no, it all fell through because
the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
and the interesting thing is too, even if you're an agent even if you're an agent who lacks knowledge in a specific mm-hmm. thing to navigate with your client, then why aren't you educating yourself
exactly.
to figure out how to better service them mm-hmm. to get through that like little nuance or issue mm-hmm. that you're having?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not bad that you don't know something. if you don't have the experience yet, you know, at some point, everyone throughout their career was at that point.
Correct.
But then, you know, either work harder and get that experience or go ask questions to people that have been there and just be constantly in a state of learning because you're trying to specialize and strengthen your skill set so that you can better represent the client.
Correct.
You know, it's more about work ethic and hard work and treating the client with the utmost service, to be honest with you, versus I think real estate agents love to make things look glamorous.
Well, we do.
I mean, glamorous is fine to a certain extent,
but not unrealistic.
Without the work ethic,
yes,
is fake.
Yes, I agree.
So
it's unrealistic.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I think that wraps up our time for today. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back every Wednesday with a brand new episode. You can follow us on social media and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts.